unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning is A General's Last Message. Based from Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. And I have seen this saying emblazoned in many of God's people's homes. As you walk in the door, you'll see this saying on the wall. Joshua wrote, "And if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now living." And here it comes. "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I invite you to open up your handout that was given to you. Look on the front side of that, and you will find thereupon the sermon outline, A General's Last Message. Over the years, there have been many famous last words from generals. Julius Caesar, at his last great battle, said these words, "I came, I saw, I conquered." General MacArthur, as he was being driven out of the island of the Philippines by the Japanese troops, said to his beloved Filipino people, "I shall return." General William Booth, the honorary general of the Salvation Army Church, with his last words, his last breath, said these words, "Remember the homeless children." And on a humorous note, an unnamed general from the United States Civil War said these last words to his troops who were scared of an enemy sharpshooter. This general said, "Don't worry, men. He couldn't hit an elephant from this In our sermon text for today, 110-year-old General Joshua had a last message to the troops of Israel who were about ready to enter into the Promised Land. We read in Joshua 23, "When the Lord had given Israel rest from their enemies, Joshua was old, advanced in years, and he called for all of Israel and said to them, 'Israel, I am old. I am advanced in years, and you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these enemies for you. For the Lord your God has been fighting for you. He has driven out from you great and strong nations. No one has stood before you to this day.'" Joshua tells them that their victory is not due to their strength or their ability. Their victory is a gift of God from His love and from His mercy. The Lord fought for them. The Lord won the battle for them. In Christ Jesus, He has done the same for us. Ephesians 2 verse 1 says, "As for you, you were dead in your sins and transgressions." But Titus 3 says, "But He saved us not because of the righteous things we've done, but because of His mercy." 1 Peter 3 says, "For Christ died for your sins once and for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God." Just like the Lord fought for Israel, at His cross and empty grave, our Lord Jesus Christ has fought and won the battle of all eternity. And He's done it for you. In this battle at the cross, He has won for all of us forgiveness for our sins, the victory over death and the devil, and reconciliation between us and a holy God. But now back to Joshua. After reminding them of God's past blessings and victories, Joshua reminds the people of Israel of their present responsibility. They are to put away false gods and return to the Lord their God. Again, our sermon verse. Joshua said, "Choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Why would the people of Israel even seek after the false gods of the nations around them? Well, some suggest that they saw the pagan Canaanites all around them with their prosperous cities and their wonderful farms, and they wanted to be just like them. Now remember, the people of Israel had been nomadic wanderers for 40 years since they left Egypt. They had no land, they had no property, they had no place to call their own. When they saw all that the Canaanites had around them, they wanted to be like them. So they had to make a decision. Would they be like the Canaanites? Would they adopt their lifestyles? Would they adopt their values? Would they adopt their idolatries? Would they adopt their gods? Today, God's word spoken to the prophet of Joshua calls us to make that same decision that faced Israel. Will we make our number one priority the holy things of God? Or will we look at the godless Canaanites all around us and decide, I want to be like them? Will we adopt their modern values and priorities? Will we exchange the one true God for the many false gods all around us? And make no mistake, there are so many, many false gods all around us today to choose from. So many choices for us and for our families to make that will either draw us closer to our Lord or further from Him. Now, the list of things today competing for God's attention in our lives is just too long to describe. But now just ask yourself this question. What is it in my life that is taking me away from more time in God's house, from more time in God's Word, from more time with God's people? Parents, and all of us adults here today, ask yourself this question. What are my choices teaching the children of my family and the children and youth of this congregation? The old saying, "Do as I do, not as I say," applies to the holy things of God. And so does another saying, "Actions speak louder than words." Now, Joshua told his people that disaster comes with willing disobedience to God and with an attitude of, "I'll just do whatever I please." And his people's response to Joshua, the general's last message, is recorded in Joshua 24, verse 16. Let me read this verse to you. The people said, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods." And today, the truth is, disasters are all around us. In a time when "I'll do what I please" seems to be the motto by which many people live and practice. How destructive is this reality in our schools, in our workplaces, in our homes, in society in general. In our day, more and more we see this philosophy forced upon us. It sounds like this. There is neither right nor wrong. There is neither black nor white. There is no obedience to God. There is no God. Someone once told me that there will be a sign on the entryway to hell. And the sign will read these words. Here, there's neither right nor wrong, just whatever worked for you. Joshua called his people to turn their backs on the godless values of the Canaanites all around them and to return to the Lord their God. And Joshua is calling us to the same place today. Now, so far in today's sermon text, Joshua reminded the people of Israel of God's past blessings. He gave them the victory. He defeated their enemies. He gave them the land. And he also proclaimed to Israel their present responsibility to turn their backs on the false gods and return to the Lord their God. But finally, Joshua declares to them God's future blessings. He declares that God will deliver them from whatever they have to face in their future. My friends, quit making this now this morning a history lesson. Listen to God's promise to you. He has delivered you. He has given you the victory. He invites you to turn to Him and away from the gods of this age. But finally, His last word is this. He promises to deliver you from whatever comes in your way, from whatever hurts you. Listen to this promise from Joshua 23, verses 5 and 8. And the Lord your God shall drive them out before you, and you shall possess their land. But now you, cling to the Lord your God. God promised deliverance to His people who would cling to Him, who would trust in Him. And in Christ Jesus, that same deliverance is given to us. Deliverance from sin. Deliverance from death. Deliverance from the devil. That's the battlefield upon which Jesus, our general, fought and brought these victories to us. Do we deserve it? Does God owe it to us? The answer to both questions is no. Then why would God send Jesus, our general, to fight this horrific battle for us? Because it's God's nature. Because it's who He is. Because it's what He does. Because God Almighty, in the person of Jesus Christ, is in the business of forgiving and delivering sinners whom He loves so very much. In Christ Jesus, Almighty God delivers us from sin. Romans 6:14 says, "For sin will never be your master." He delivers us from death. Jesus says in John 14:1, a passage I read at every Christian funeral. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many dwelling places, and I've gone to prepare a dwelling place just for you." In Christ, He delivers us from the devil. 1 John 4:4 says, "Greater is He who is in you, Jesus Christ our Lord, than he who is in the world, the devil." Now today we've seen and heard that Joshua, Israel's greatest general, had a last message for them. Jesus, our general, has a last message for us. His last and final message is always a message of victory a message of forgiveness. From the battlefield of the cross, Jesus, our general, cried out a message of forgiveness. Forgiveness first to those who crucified him. Forgiveness secondly to a man who was crucified next to him. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they've done." And to the man next to him, Jesus said, "Today I say to you, you'll be with me in paradise." And his final word from the cross, from that battlefield of the cross, was a word of victory. With his last breath, Jesus cried out, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." The victory over sin is complete. Your sins and mine are forgiven. Our brokenness has been healed. Speaking of brokenness, and here's how we'll end our message this morning. I once tried to use one of those super glues to fix a broken ceramic figure in our home, a ceramic seagull that now sits in our downstairs washroom. But before I could count to 10, my right index finger was bonded to the wing of that seagull, and I couldn't get it loose. Finally, I found some solvent that helped a little bit, but part of my finger was left on the seagull. I'm pretty good with duct tape, too. But not long after that event, I made a home visit to a family. And the father of this family introduced his children in this way. "This is Pete. He's the clumsy one. That's Katie. She's the sloppy one. That's Mike. He'll be late for his own funeral." That father did a thorough job of gluing his children to their faults and their mistakes. Now, sometimes people do this to us. They glue us to our sins and our failures, and they won't let us live them down. Others are like me with the ceramic seagull. They try to free themselves from their past, but the glue seems too strong. And when we don't permit others to let go of their past, when we don't forgive, it's like we are gluing them to their sins and to their failures. But thanks be to God that Jesus, our general, does for us what we're unwilling or unable to do. On the battlefield of the cross, our Lord Jesus Christ melts the glue. He melts the glue. His blood-bought forgiveness separates us from our sins. Here's what the psalmist said. "As far as the east is from the west, so far God separates us from our sins." He melts the glue. This then is Jesus, your general's final message to you. You are loved. You are forgiven. You are victorious. In the name of Jesus, which is the Hebrew name for Joshua, in the name of Jesus, your general, Amen. We now worship our Lord with his offering.